Okay, I'm going to read January 22nd, Kenneth Copeland. It's just so excellent. And then we're going to get in. We're just going to have one teaching today, but it's so good. I wanted to share it. It says, live like Jesus. But Christ Jesus made himself of no reputation, or took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. That's Philippians 2:7. The truth of this verse hasn't really dawned on most people. They mistakenly think that Jesus was able to work wonders, to perform miracles, and to live above sin because he had divine powers that we don't have. Thus, they have never really aspired to live like he lived. Oh my, they say with great humility, I could never live like Jesus did. After all, he had an advantage. He was God. Yesterday morning, after I read this, I said, well, Holy Spirit said, Eve was also a sinless son of God, just like Jesus was, but she sinned. So Jesus could have sinned, even though he had God's nature. He could have sinned, because they could have sinned. So it'll come in context as I finish here, or as I read the rest of it. They don't realize that when Jesus came to earth, he voluntarily gave up that advantage, living his life here not as God, but as a man. He had no innate supernatural powers. He had no ability to perform miracles until after he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, as recorded in John 3:22. You know, there's people say, yeah, we found extra books. Jesus doing all these miracles as a child. Scriptures do not bear that out. He never did anything till he came out of the wilderness anointed by the Holy Ghost. He worked wonders, not by his own power, but by the power of the Father, saying, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. This is John 14:10. When he prayed not as a divine one who had authority as God, but as a man who walked obediently with God. And as Hebrews 5:7 says, his prayers were heard not because of his deity, but because of his reverence toward God. Jesus, the divine Son of God, set aside the privileges and powers of deity for a time and lived as a man on the earth. Once you grasp that, it will absolutely thrill your soul. Why? Because it means you, as a reborn child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit as Jesus was, have the same opportunity to live as he lived on earth. In fact, that is exactly what he intends. In John 17:18, he said to the Father, just as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Jesus has sent you into the world to live as he lived, through the new birth. He's enabled you to exchange the sinful nature of Adam for the sinless nature of God. He's given you the ability and the command to live above sin, to live in fellowship with the Father, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, and to make disciples. Once you release that, you'll throw off those shackles of doubt that have held you back. You'll begin to live as Jesus meant. For you to live, not as a sin-ridden son of fallen man, but as a reborn child of the Most High God. Then those around you will actually begin to see Jesus in you. I thought that was good because it puts things in proper perspective, because most people, I believe, they think, oh, you know, Jesus could do that, but I can't do that. I'm not anything like Jesus. There ain't no way. Oh, that's sacrilege to say that. No. He put that aside to come to earth to take our place. And he did it in every way. Okay. This is 2:23:25, Sunday morning. We're going to do one teaching. It's called Twisted, T-W-I-S-T-E-D. And as I progress on, you'll see what I mean. In the dictionary, twisted means mentally or emotionally unsound or disturbed or sick. We live in a sick world that's mentally disturbed. They're twisted. We're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures. Like I said, this is probably the longest teaching I've ever done, but it's very important that anyone that comes here hears this. I will not tell you what to do, but the word will instruct you what you are to do. That's my aim here. Matthew 9. It's because of Twisted that we nearly lost our world. The Twisted One nearly overtook everything. All seven mountains of culture. That's Babylon. All seven mountains of culture. I'm not going into Revelation and read about that, but you can read it. All seven mountains. This is Matthew chapter 9. Start with verse 12 there. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall... Oh, wait a minute. 9. Sorry. 12 and 13. Well, we got that behind us. Okay. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Antichrist system is likened in the scripture as a tree that branches throughout the whole world. When you begin to see the Antichrist agenda as a system, it begins to unlock the unholy agenda. Say, when you're looking at it, is it one man? You ain't ever going to get it. It's a system. An agenda that is twisted and sick. God started out with his divine order, and the most twisted creature ever created, tricked man out of God's divine order and plan. Thank God for Jesus, for he brought back divine order to the earth and to the church. Babylon is this system that God is taking down. Now, I've taught a lot in the book of Revelation, and we've read all these chapters that talk about that very thing coming down. Babylon has fallen. Come out of her, my people. We're going to go to Daniel. Chapter 4. Some would say, why didn't God just take him out in the beginning when this happened? Because he'd given the earth to man. Man allowed it. Because man allowed it, God had to let the earth lease run its course. And this is what Daniel's talking about. Chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid. And the thought upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head, in my bed I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the highest thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven. That's Satan's goal, by the way. We'll read that. And the sight thereof, his, let me correct this. He's not seeking to take you to hell with him. He aims to take heaven. He doesn't aim to take hell. He's going to hell, but he aims to take heaven. That's how demented this creature is. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached in unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. You know, how many times did Hillary Clinton talk about the glass ceiling and how many cracks it has in it from them trying to break through the firmament. So their God Satan can get up there and overtake God and sit on his throne. This was their agenda. From what I understand, it repairs itself anytime anything tries to penetrate it. Ain't happening. Nothing's getting through that until Jesus rolls it back like a scroll. He's coming through. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all the flesh was fed of it. I saw the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one come down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hewn down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth, and let his heart change from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. Let seven times pass over him. God's judging Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. But the stump is left in the earth. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Throughout 6,000 years of the earth lease, there has been judgment, but the stump's been left in the earth. You think, why does it keep coming back? Why does it keep being judged over and over and over again? It has to, until the earth lease runs out. See, man allowed this. Because man allowed it, it stands until the earth lease runs out. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the Spirit of the Holy Gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, My Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth. This is one system throughout the whole earth. I don't care who says what or what it looks like. Whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven have had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that are grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. When it gets to heaven, it gets knocked down. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hewn the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots therefore in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. And this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king. But they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Nobody's going to rule heaven but God and his people. We're seated with him in heavenly places. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. And this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" So God is bringing down this system as we live. It's coming down. I believe it's the last time, but it's coming down. We're not going to go through all the different places in the scripture, but the Babylon banner is pride. Because this was man's choice after the seduction of Eve, God has allowed the earth least to stay intact and run its course. We're seeing it at its worst at this time. Throughout history, we have seen God step in and knock it down, but the roots have remained and begins to grow again. This is the true history of the world and has repeated itself over and over to the present day. Thank God for Jesus, for he again gave us access to the tree of life. Okay, Luke 6. The tree of life was in the garden with Adam and Eve. Luke 6:43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather thy grapes. Okay. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. If gays believe they can still be a Christian and participate in this, they are deceived just like he was. Matthew 6:24 says, "You cannot serve two masters." We've been asked to coddle them and accept them in the church like it's just, you're just hateful if you don't. Well, I'm telling you, it's a crime if you don't tell them the truth. 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." That's coming up some other way. All right, Revelation 2. Starting with verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church in Ephesus write, those things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy practice, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of thy place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. God hates this behavior. It's been around for a long time, but God hates it. No society can survive with this in place. It sets the earth up for extinction. Listen to me today, please. No pre-creation over time would cause humanity to die out. No procreation over time would cause humanity to die out. God set down in Genesis 1 his divine order. And then in Romans 1, he goes into how men working with men, that which is unseemly, and also the women doing also. Over time, it would cause humanity to completely die out. That was their plan. This is the Antichrist agenda. Okay, Isaiah. This is chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. Have you ever heard of a more prideful creature? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. This is Revelation 20, when the angel takes the chain, lassoes the devil, puts him in the pit, seals him for 1,000 years. God's divine order. This is Genesis 1. Starting there with verse 26, I didn't write that one down, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So he created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. So right off the bat, man failed. Lost his place, and Satan took his place. Matthew 13. If Christians think this is just a fad, then it's sad. That's all I can say. This is 13:41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things of the offend, and them which do iniquity. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. There's not anything coming in there. Except those, blood-bought, divine order. This is why the apostles are being called up. This is why they suffer the way they do. They know that humanity and its future are on the line. Paul makes this statement when he had to deal with this agenda in his day. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start with 3 there. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or rather, we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also, or be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Paul faced this very same thing in his day at Mars Hill. They worshiped anything and everything. Demon activity is high, but God's divine order must be reestablished. Judgment in the house of God first, and then the taking of the commission will resume. If you saw one of these people in a burning house, would you just let them burn? See, we're not looking at this right. If you passed by and saw somebody in a house burning, would you run in there and with violence pull them out? Sure you would. Well, they're burning. This agenda will send them to hell. It hurts to do the right thing sometimes, but this is the only suffering that a Christian will ever know. We're here to bring the truth and get the church, the nation, the world back into divine order. When it gets out of this order, if God does not correct it, there's no room for that tree, that twisted tree. Right here, John 15. Jesus says, I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. See, they think they have their own plan, their own little agenda, and they're going to do their own thing. But they don't realize who's behind it. Satan is behind it. It's his plan to kill them, to take them out. Souls that Jesus died for. I'm not saying be cruel or be ugly to these people. I'm saying be led by the Spirit when you deal with them. But as a church, we've got to make a stand. We cannot compromise and say, well, it's okay, honey. Like I said, you let the Holy Spirit lead you in how you deal with it. But they need to know the truth because they've been lied to. Those that will not repent are headed to the pit with the master they have chosen. Revelation 9. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. See, all these, all through here, there's judgment coming on these people. But they didn't repent. They're too prideful to repent. So they didn't repent. All right, Revelation 3. For those that are Christians and have embraced this lifestyle, they've left their first love. I would like to ask them, what about Jesus? There's no room for two. Revelation 3:19-20. I know thy works. He's talking about the church of Thyatira. I know thy works in charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou servest that woman Jezebel, which calleth... Oh, I'm reading two. There, I did it again. All right, 3:19-20. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and he will sup with him, and he with me. Repent means to think differently or to reconsider. Reconsider your situation. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Do they really think? Let me ask you this question, Amber. Do they really think if they're a Christian and they are in this lifestyle, they really think they're going to heaven? Do they really think that? Do you know?
Depends on who it is.
I guess some are just more reprobate than others. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to start with 15 there. Paul says, so as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. What? What?
Romans chapter 1.
I am at Romans chapter 1.
Verse 15.
No more rebuking me, okay? If I get it wrong, I get it wrong. All right. 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because they which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. This is not something you're born with. This is something you learn. It comes from a narrative. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Here's what it is to be reprobate: unapproved, rejected, and worthless. Vain imaginations. This is verse 21. A vain imagination. In other words, doing the unthinkable. Reprobate, unapproved, rejected, worthless. It is not okay to run with them. Why? You will begin to compromise and think it is okay. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. See, that's why it can't be in the church. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 5. I know someone. They had a daughter. They've passed away now. But they had a daughter that was homosexual. And she began to write a book about this. And before you know it, she as a Christian decided it was okay. All right, 5. But be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. These are the epistles. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What's reprove mean?
Expose.
You say something to them about it. You let the Lord lead you, but you don't accept it. You reprove it. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I don't even want to even touch it with my mind. It's so skank. But all things that are proved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, it takes the Spirit of God in a person to be able to make it in this world today. People that don't have the Spirit of God in them, if they're Christians and they don't have the Holy Ghost in them and helping them, they're not going to make it very well. If they do, it's going to be very, it may be one of those by the skin of your teeth. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is not the kind of stuff I wish I didn't even have to teach. It's a sad thing. 1 Corinthians 15:33. But as God begins to add to this ministry, this will be a precedent that will be set. We have to look at it this way. For the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no room for this, the ways of the world. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Kind of like if you run with a dog with fleas, you get fleas. I personally have had to cut off relationships with certain friends that wanted to pull me in the wrong direction. The pride movement expects everyone to be accepting of them, but they have no tolerance for us. They are intolerant, just like the devil. They get offended at everything. Christians are called judgmental. We're mild compared to the righteous judge, but God will not be mocked. I guess it depends on how much you love a person, if you'll tell them the truth or not. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's our duty to follow the Spirit in telling people the truth. I'm not saying get in the flesh and have a flesh argument, because that's not going to produce anything either. Did I read Ephesians 5:11 a while ago? Let me look. Oh, it says, that was the one, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Okay, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap together teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Well, it's a fable if they think they're going to heaven and they're going to do these sorts of things. I hate it. I hate it. Reprove, to confute or admonish. Dictionary says confute means to overwhelm in argument. God is the most inclusive being there is. He included all to receive his gift of salvation. You know, we're accused of being inclusive. No matter what their background, if they repent, they can have remission of their sins and receive eternal life. This is not hate speech, but love speech. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hell is a real place. Just like heaven is for real, so is hell. It's a real place. Luke chapter 16. Starting with 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There came a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, still demanding somebody to serve him, even in hell. Finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Yeah. Genesis 6, 1. It came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There has to be something wrong. They have to be so sick for a naked man painting up his body, walking down the street nude in front of children in a parade. And he repented the Lord that had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. What happened here? Well, homosexuality wasn't involved, but it was the same principle. Kind with kind. Human class with angel class. It's crossing those barriers that God has set in place. God destroyed everything but Noah and his family. That's how serious he takes this. God had to restore divine order, for the world was on the brink of extinction. God is doing the same thing in our hour. Same thing. Let's go back to Matthew 24. I read you one verse, but I want to read a couple of more verses from there. It's Matthew 24, 21 and 22. No, I read you Matthew 6, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter. 24, 21 and 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning in the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Obama and Hillary had their 8 years to destroy America. They purchased plastic coffins and guillotines to do just that. Had she gotten office, we probably wouldn't be here. And nobody knew anything. We all sensed there's something up, but couldn't put your finger on it. Yeah, there was a whole lot up. They aimed to kill every one of us. From what I understand, they plan to use the vaccines to lock us down for at least 5 years and put the non-compliant in camps. You know, Abraham, he had clout with God. He was a friend of God. And he was going to do what he could for Abraham. Let's go look at that. This is over in Genesis 18. This is how infiltration. Here Lot, he begins to move from what he knows to be right into this area where they're depraved. And that's why Abraham is appealing to God for him. This is Genesis 18, starting with verse 16 here. This is after the angels show up with the Lord and they talk to Sarah about how she's going to have a baby. Verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the city cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. In other words, the cry was so putrid. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And the righteous shall be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if there find 30 there. He said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. He said, O, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. said, "Behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night. And wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do to them, or do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." They said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. As the story goes on, eventually the angels escort them out of the city and they destroy the city, Sodom and Gomorrah. Imagine, Satan's pride will take him to the pit, and so will all of those that follow him in this agenda unless they repent. It's inevitable. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We need to know how serious this is, y'all. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. How do we speak to those that are involved in this? Right here, verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." See, they glory in their flesh. This is a work of the flesh. This is what fornication is: to act the harlot, indulge unlawful lust, or practice idolatry. In the vines, it talks about porneia, that the Greek word elicits sexual intercourse, adultery, pagan idolatry, and doctrines of whoremongers. This is all part of Satan's worship, implying excessive indulgence. In other words, to be part of their cult. I know these elites, they require them to rape a child. I know of one said person and what the said person said about it and how horrible it was, but they threatened to kill his family. So he did it. This is all part of Satan's worship, this distortion. I'm sure most people, especially the younger ones, probably don't know, have any clue about any of this. That's why we have to tell them. This is Matthew 7:23. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" The Lord's not just going to let just anybody and everybody Well, God just loves everybody. Yes, He does. He sent Jesus to die for everyone. But does that mean He has to put up with your ungodly behavior? No. All right, Acts 15. We see here the infiltration, the leaven that's infiltrated the church here in the book of Acts. It has to do with this practice. Starting with verse 1 there. Let me get me a drink. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and the elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purging their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? They had a reason. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. After they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return, I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. This is why they were in an uproar, the church, the Jews. They wanted to put these restrictions on these Gentiles because what did they do? These practices in their temple. It's all part of this cult. Homosexuality is just part of it. Transgender is another part of it. Okay. I know this is tedious, but we're going to see it through. 1 Corinthians 5. If it's not corrected, it infiltrates everywhere. Starting with verse 1 there. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Incest. And you are puffed up, but have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. Evidently the pastor was allowing it to go on. For verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with the idolaters. From then must ye needs go out of the world. But now, in other words, he's saying if you go to evangelize, that's one thing, but to run with them? No. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. Fornication is not just homosexuality, it's also sex outside of the marriage covenant. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Why? Well, I've told you the story of the church I worked at, and the kids were gossiping in the back seat about all this stuff going on, where a minister on staff had ministered to a woman without his wife, and they got into an affair, and the people in the church were beginning to have thoughts of committing adultery. What do they have to do? Fire the minister and get him out of the church. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his whole body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 7. Now concerning the things, verse 1, wherever you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto her husband. The wife hath not power of her own body but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. I tell you what, the devil's just standing at the ready to try to cause a Christian to stumble. All right, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sit down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Yeah, it's tough stuff. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, taketh heed lest he fall. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Well, I've still got quite a few scriptures here. All right, Galatians. I'm going to have to take a bathroom break. Can y'all pause it? All right, Galatians chapter 5. Talking about verse 16 there. For this I say then, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. See, Satan's agenda, it's all glories in the flesh. God's the Spirit. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You can't do both. It's like, again, you can't serve two masters. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:17. I'm going to try to go through these pretty quickly here. Not 17, just 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Colossians 3. Four. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. 1 Thessalonians 4. It's all through here. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, that strong sexual desire, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, for which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjurious persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I mean, they had this problem, same problem in their day that we're facing in our day. Okay, let's see. Hebrews 12. Start with 7 there. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Jude, starting with verse 5 there. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. What'd they do? He went up in the mountain. What'd they do? Started fornicating. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. What did the angels do? They married outside. They're not supposed to marry, but they married earth women. Kind against, not sticking with their kind. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a writing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. All right, let's keep going here. Well, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But ye, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pull them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. All right, let's get to the book of Revelation, then we'll be done. Revelation chapter 2. We've gone from Genesis to Revelation. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of his mouth. He's dealing with the churches here. They have this going on. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. First, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou servest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. You know, nobody's going to get away with anything. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. Revelation 9, 20 and 21. I read this earlier, just part of it. Started with verse 20 there. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Unrepentant. 14:8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In other words, they followed that agenda. 17. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. When I started out, I talked about this is a system. It's not a man. It's a system. And that's this system. All right, 18. Nearly done here. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven. What happened the last time? The flood. What happened before that? Sodom. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Okay, 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For it judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. I'm looking forward to that. 21. One through eight. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 22. Starting with verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that have right, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For with that are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Progressive is what they call this movement, yes, progressing right into hell. This is what being woke has gotten us to. Genesis 3, as in the days of Noah. Okay, I do have one more, just a minute. Just imagine pastors and bishops of mainline denominations are inviting drag queens in to walk the runway and strut their stuff right in front of the little kids. They may call us mean, but at least we are clean. Now's the day of salvation. We are on a rescue operation just like Noah. One more passage and we'll be done. This is Matthew 24. Starting with 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in that hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Done.